We're coming near the end of a season of studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation gifts in particular in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That whole study, for the most part, is up on our website if you want to follow along in that. We had David Jebsam here last week. Awesome time. I think we ended at about 12:30. We kicked them out at 5 after they were still praying for people. It was awesome. It was fresh and it was enlivening. And how many of you got a word from David and Kim? Like 8 of you? Seriously? Dude, they were here forever. That's it? Okay, it was, we had a great time. I got a good word. I saw so many of you go up and get prayed for. And there was just a response, wasn't there, to the gifts that God has put in them. And that's kind of what we're talking about, is they reflect Jesus in a slightly different way than we do as a body. And it's like when they come in, we respond to that. We're like, wow, that's cool, but it's different. And so we jumped in, and instead of judging what we don't know, instead of judging things that we don't understand, maybe we should look at how they reflect Jesus. Yes? No? We should just judge them. Okay. Show of hands. How many think we should just judge it? Okay. No, don't raise it. Okay. I'm sort of calling today New Ruts. And it's sort of based on a quote I've used several times that I love by a guy called G.K. Chesterton. G.K. Chesterton's one of those guys that just close to my heart. He was a philosopher and an author and really just a thinker from England, you know, maybe 100, 150 years ago. And he had a saying, and he said, new roads, new ruts. And this has been one of the things that my heart is to try and avoid. I want to try and avoid getting into new ruts. See, the thing is guys, ruts, they're not necessarily bad. They're not necessarily bad. But what they do is they keep you in an established direction. They keep you on an established path versus giving you the opportunity to maybe progress. It was that great intellectual mind, that pillar of Western society, Frank Zappa, who said, without deviation from the norm, there is no opportunity to progress. And the reality is there's a lot of things in the body of Christ that we feel are the norm and they're good. And we need to hold these things as tightly as we can. Because they make us secure. Bless you, Jeremy. I don't even know what that was, bro. I thought there was an elephant in here for a second, but I don't want to embarrass you, so I'm not going to draw attention. You know, the reality is it's like when we're young, we have ideas about what's right and wrong, about how much we maybe know. I've shared this story before because it makes me look amazing. When my daughter was about 5 years old, we were driving down, you guys know Tara. She's just she's a chip off the old block. She's a thinker. She's a philosopher at heart. She loves to know the reason why. And, you know, we were driving down Olivos Drive in Los Osos, California. Our hometown as a family. Beautiful coastal town. Love it. And we had driven by, it was a relay station for the main Trans-Pacific fiber optics network. Yeah, you didn't think I'd, yeah, it was awesome. Anyways, Jeremy helped me with that one. And we drove by this building and my daughter says, Dad, he said, Mom, what's that? This building that we had. And my wife said, you know, I don't know. And I said, oh, it's a relay station for the fiber optics come across the Pacific from Hawaii. And Tara looked at it and thought about it. We were driving in our old beat-up Volvo. And she looked at my wife, and in all sincerity, she said, Mom, how come Dad knows everything? You know, and Jabron kind of laughed to herself and looked at me and just kind of goes, I don't know, honey. You know, and it was kind of one of those moments where I was like, you know, and one of the problems is you have an opportunity there, don't you? You have a choice to either say, yeah, I'm going to let this ride for a few years, you know, just to, but I remember sort of pulling Tara aside because she was a child very much like me and she wouldn't forget things like that. And I said, Tara, I go, honey, I don't know everything. And being, you know, a slightly cynical child, you know, she goes, yeah, right. And I go, I don't. I know a lot, but I don't know everything. And, you know, it's in the eyes of a child, sometimes someone who's that much ahead of us seems to know everything, don't they? But compared to an infinite Heavenly Father, how much does that person who's ahead of us know? Not much. Not much. And the guys, I want you to hear my heart. God, one of the things we know from our studying, from knowing what that there's gifts of teaching that God gives, that there's offices of teacher that God gives. Clearly, there's people who preach in the Bible, who expound truth. And the reality is that we are given the task of relaying information to people. But sometimes things sneak in that have my spin on it. My wife and I have gone through a very, very much of a watershed revelation moment, and it's been in particular around the most recent American election. Now, this is probably a deep and significant truth that most of you are familiar with. Okay. Americans are Fruit Loops, okay? They're completely crazy. You know what I mean? It's like we're sitting here and we're just kind of like, there's been those days where we're like, how long has the rest of the world known this? And like nobody like got on the phone, yep, boop, 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 boop. Hey, yeah, Americans, yeah, y'all crazy. Okay, just, it would have been helpful. But sometimes when you grow up in something, there's things that go on that you just miss. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and here's the thing, Kiwis, you know, we're not totally innocent in this area ourselves. Okay. It is not my intention to kill any sacred cows. Okay. Rugby is not that big a deal. Okay, I'm just throwing it out, okay? I take that for whatever you will. But it's like we go to other parts of the world and they're like, yeah, you know, have you ever heard of the All Blacks? And they're like, I've heard of the color black. I don't know. Is that, can you say that in mixed company? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, the idea is it's like, look, there's certain things that we take in and they become ruts in our lives, don't they? Why does Dad know everything? He doesn't. You know, is rugby that important? You know, does anybody really care about the politics in America? No. They're interesting. They're fun. It's good to laugh at. They're entertaining. Yeah. But the reality is every once in a while when we have the church, when we have this established group of people that you and I, guys, sometimes we think they know everything. And then a revelation rips through the old wineskin. I might be showing my age here a bit. I'm 27 years old. Just kidding. But, you know, I may be showing my age a bit, but how many of you remember the last time Haley's Comet came through? Hey, can we see it in the Southern Hemisphere? I don't know. I was in the Northern Hemisphere. Okay, so do you know, and the thing that you see, I mean, I remember, I was like in junior high or something like that, but it's like we got to go out and we had to look for Halley's Comet. And the thing you see when you see Halley's Comet is you see the tail. You see the wake. And it's like thousands of miles long. I didn't realize this, but basically a comet, it creates a degree of gravitational pull around it. Jeremy, you know. Create some gravitational pull around it, and as it passes by, it kind of picks things up and sort of pulls it with it. And so you see this massive tail of like ice and rocks and space dust, whatever that is, that begin to sort of reflect things, and that's what lights up behind it. Now, here's the thing. When a revelation rips through an old wineskin, just like a shooting star out of heaven, and it hits that wineskin and tears it apart, if you will, oftentimes I've noticed that there's a wake that follows through that revelation, and it has almost its own gravitational field. And it, as it's establishing a new wineskin, it pulls things from the old wineskin that trail along with it. Are you tracking with me? It's like a little bit of old wine that tries to get itself established in the new wineskin. Now, here's the thing. Remember, the Bible tells us in three of the Gospels, you can't put old wine in new wineskin. And sometimes we read that like, well, you know, it's just not a good idea. Like, it would be advisable for you to not. But it doesn't say that. It says you can't. You cannot. Otherwise, the skins will rent and you're going to lose both. Now, here's the thing. Please understand, the Bible makes it very clear. God loves old wine and new wine. So don't get smug. Okay, God loves them both and God uses both of them. But for us, we're in a season where God is establishing a new wineskin. And I'm just finding that there's things that as the Lord delivers you from fear, and I feel this is the biggest one that needs to be dealt with, suddenly you start looking at things without fear, because when you're afraid, all you want is security. Amen? And there's things that we cleave to. There's things in the establishment of church that we cleave to. I remember distinctly the first time Rob brought out his electric guitar. Oh my goodness. You would have thought we had just unveiled the Antichrist in church. You know what I mean? It's like I have been after Rob for so long. You know, just, man, bro, we need to get, come on, man, bring it out. You know, and he's just like, oh, you know, I don't know. And I love when Rob plays, man. And I can say this because he's not here today, you know, and pump him up a bit. But it's like, you know, there's a biblical principle that when Saul was being tormented by the enemy, David played the harp over him. And it soothed and calmed him. And I believe Rob has a very similar anointing. You know, but it's like because we thought, well, you know, I don't know. You know, there's no electric guitars in the Bible. That's because Thomas Edison didn't live in Israel. You know, I don't know, you know, or whoever, Benjamin, whoever, electric, you know, Tesla, I don't know. Jeremy, who? Okay, all right, you know. So if Jeremy doesn't know, then none of y'all know. Okay, so basically the idea is it's like, look, we you know, is the electric guitar redeemable? Some of you, I'm going to wait to see where you're going with this before I chime in. The reality is it's like when you're going someplace new, you have to be careful. No. The only thing that you can have in the church is an organ. Kevin, he's like, yeah, that's about right. You know? Okay, I hate to, you know, look, Nana, I'm sorry, okay? The reality is there weren't no organs in the Bible. I'm just throwing it out, okay? You know, so it's like we have these things where they get established. And as they get established, we kind of go, well, wait a minute. You know, is this the truth of the Bible or is this just a tradition that we have? Here's the thing. How many times have we talked about it? And I'm just going to throw it out once again because my phone's still ringing a little too much. Okay. I'm not a pastor. Okay? That's at least once a Sunday that needs to come out. Okay? My job is to motivate. Do you see my boots? I'm not going to paint a picture. All right? This is my job. So if you need somebody to go there, I love, and I have people like that in my life. Okay? I love them too. But for me, my job is to go there, there's the door. Okay? Now get out there and do something. You know, it's like I looked at Jeremy this morning. I'm like, look, let's go hit somebody. You know, it's like, and Jeremy's like, metaphorically, I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, it's like we, you know, we have different roles in the body. And as long as we hold, but I need security. I don't know what an apostle is. I'm scared, Scott. Cool. We're figuring it out. We're trying to, and as we do, we're creating space for people to operate in the freedom of what you're called to. And instead of it being a one-man band, instead of us being a one-string banjo, instead of us being a skinny off-white dude from America, because some of y'all ain't going to fit into that model, okay? You know what I'm saying, brother? You know, it's like, you know, and I'm speaking, of course, of my hair, nothing else. You know, you're not going to fit. We're not going to be like that. And it's like, how many times, you know, with Aaron, I'm like, man, I'd love to have shoulders like that. Just, I'd love to. I don't. Kind of okay with that. And Aaron's like, you know, I'd love to crack six. You know, maybe. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like we all have things. We go, but together, dynamic duo. We got it all covered. And that's what God wants to do with the body of Christ, is we are different upbringings, different cultures, different traditions. As we come together, we reflect a greater fullness of who God is. But when we hold on to traditions and we do not recognize them as such, we put ourselves in danger of either dragging stuff from the old wineskin or creating a new rut on a new road. Are you with me? See, one of the things, questions you have to constantly ask yourself, and we as a church have to ask ourselves, why do you believe what you believe? Or why do we do what we do? Do you know the idea of having the chairs turned in a little bit on the side, amphitheater style, is something that has only happened in churches in the last 200 years or so? We're progressive. You know, I mean, you know, previous to that, if you go to like cathedrals and stuff in Europe, it's they're stacked straight across. And if somebody came in, it's like, oh, I can't see the guy up there, and turned the pew in, they'd be like, oh, come out of him. Come out. He's putting the chairs at an angle on the side. Clearly, Beelzebub is upon him. And it's not the case. They just wanted to see what was going on. And so we ask ourselves, why do we believe what we believe? See, in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, and this is repeated 3 or 4 times, maybe 5 times in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, you have heard that it was said of old, blah, blah, blah. And he goes into things that have become tradition, that have become entrenched within the body of Christ. You have heard that it is said. And then what does Jesus go on to say in the next sentence? But I say to you. See, the Sermon on the Mount is an interesting transition, isn't it? It's an interesting transition from what we would call, I guess, just, you know, Judaism that had evolved over about a 500-year period into Pharisaical Judaism. You guys know these guys called the Pharisees in the Bible? They had hijacked a relationship that God had provided for the world. They had hijacked it and turned it into a bunch of rules and regulation. And it seemed like about 40% of what Jesus had to deal with was this religious trap that people had been put in. Anybody ever pried that trap off their ankle in their life? You know what I mean? Anybody ever crawled out of that hole? Where you just sat there and you just kind of were going, what? Where is that? That just doesn't resonate with me at all. You have heard it was said of old, but I say to you. Luke chapter 11, Verse 42, Jesus says, "But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe of mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." He says, look, you guys have chosen by tradition to be so serious about this part over here, but you reject this that is the weightier issue. There's things that we need to understand by tradition that are left behind, because there's truths in the Bible that we miss. There's established truths in the Bible that we miss. No, there's not. That never happens. Really? How many of you know that in 1492, when Christopher Columbus left the old world, Europe, Spain, as I recall, people were going, "Yeah, be careful, man. Okay, be careful, because you could fall off the edge. You could fall off the edge, man. You could fall off the edge of the world. You don't know what's out there." Do you know that 1,500 years, maybe 2,000 years before that, Isaiah had written, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth." In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. Isaiah had, it was clear. It had been established in God's word for thousands of years. And yet, the greatest minds of the age were kind of going, "Well, we don't have a 50-50 chance, bro. You could fall off the edge." And how many things in the body of Christ do we do where people are going, "Scott, you be careful, man. You might fall off the edge." And I want to encourage you. It's a circle. God told us. So where does it come from? This idea, this tendency. See, there's a place that, you know, when we don't know what we're supposed to hold on to and what we're not, when we don't know the anchor points we're supposed to have in our Christian walk, we begin to hold on to things and establish anchor points that are not from the Lord. And we have to be careful, because we sometimes say, "Well, I'm a conservative Christian. I'm a conservative Christian." I had read this definition of conservatism from the Gospel Coalition, and it was by Russell Moore, who's a Southern Baptist theologian and author. The Gospel Coalition is probably one of the louder conservative voices in the body of Christ these days. And Russell Moore said, "The conservative task is to preserve what's best from the past with a healthy skepticism towards progress for the sake of progress." Let me give you the definition of a rut. That's the definition of a rut. We're supposed to take what's best from the past. We protect what we had in the past, and we make sure that we have a skepticism about anything that's going to change. We don't believe in progress for the sake of progress. Well, here's the deal. I don't believe in progress for the sake of progress, but I do believe in progress for the sake of a fuller understanding of who God is. Because when I take off from here to California in an airplane, I don't worry about flying over the edge of the world. "Oh, there it went. Somebody tell the pilot to turn around. We ain't gonna make it." You know, it's like I understand certain things because the truth has been revealed. So what's the answer? You know, I think there's something, you got it, guys. There's certain things that you know, I've heard this a lot. There's been some controversial things as we've been establishing a new wineskin. And I understand that establishing a new wineskin is not going to be comfortable for everyone. I understand that. And I want to apologize. There are things that I have perpetuated out of sheer ignorance. Do you understand what I'm saying? there are things that I've said, well, this is what I believe, because the reality is I've never actually gone through and tried to figure it out for myself. And I'm sorry. And I have misled some of you unintentionally. But I've done it nonetheless, and I need to take responsibility for that. So I apologize. But one of the things that the Lord had told me is that as we establish this new wineskin, he says, if you don't know, if I haven't spoken to you on a subject, if I haven't told you something, then you leave that space blank. You don't fill it with the wake of an old wineskin. Are you tracking with me? You don't just take the opportunity. So that's why, you know, if you want to refer to me as Pastor Scott, I'm not going to get offended. Okay? Hey, this is Pastor Scott. And I'm not going to be like, don't you ever call me. Okay, you know, I'll let Aaron do that. You know, it's like, we're not going to get weird about it. Okay? I'll still respond, you know, Pastor Scott. And I'll be like, Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not going to like give you the cold shoulder or anything, but the idea is we're trying to reestablish. So what, and people have said, so what do we call you? Scott. Yeah, that's probably the best bet. Because I don't know. It's a blank spot right now. Scott's fine. You need to know where things come from. You need to know why you believe what you believe. And there are certain things where I've had that many people recently come to me and said, you know, Scott, we were always taught blah, blah, blah. Do you know what that is? That's that transition between Judaism and the new covenant that's called the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, you have heard it said of old, but I say to you. And there's some of you who have grown up under legalistic religion, relationship that with God that has been hijacked. It's been hijacked by religious people. And unfortunately, as you shift to this new place that God has for you, you have heard it said of old. But Jesus wants to come in and say, but I say to you. So the answer, I believe, is one of the answers is Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Mark chapter 8, verse 15, it says, but he, Jesus, cautioned them, saying, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Jesus said, you got to watch out. You got to beware. You've got to be on guard for the leaven of the Pharisees, that's a religious spirit, and the leaven of Herod, that's a political spirit, and both of them attack established churches, old wineskins. They're like fungus that grow on old wine. Unless you are thorough and diligent to keep it off, it's going to grow on them. And one of the ways you can do that is just to be aware, to look out for it. So one of the things you got to do, guys, you got to be aware. You have heard it said of old, but I say to you. And then so basically awareness of, you know, what are your leanings? I mean, be honest with yourself. What are your leanings? I don't have any leanings. You know what I mean? It's like, how many of us walk through life? How many of us? Okay, it's because we don't. I know. We're all balanced. But you know people who are like that. Hey, they go to other churches. They don't come to Balance Church. Maybe we'll change the name again. Balance Church. And all we do is we turn the mirrors sort of sideways. You know what I mean? How's it going? Yeah, hey, Bob. You know, it's like we don't understand that we're out of balance. So are you aware of your leanings? One of the things I love about our leadership group, guys like Aaron and Jenny and Rob and Tina and Paul and Barbara and Leonie and my wife, it's like Jeremy and Katrina, is we all kind of like lean, you know, we all get together and like lean in, you know, so we sort of form a teepee, you know, it's like that's kind of all we can do. And we're all like, well, you're wrong. Well, maybe if we all get together, we'll all be right. But Jeremy is not me. Some of you guys are like, praise the Lord. Okay. I am not Aaron. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, Aaron is not Katrina. It's like we're all different. And so you need to be aware of your leanings and tendencies. And if you just thought to yourself, well, that's not me, you're wrong. Luke chapter 9, verse 44, let these words sink down into your ears. I love that. Luke chapter 9, verse 44, Jesus said, let these words sink down into your ears. Sometimes we hear something that a lanky American pastor says, or, you know, that someone who we respect says, and we just take it at face value. There's something to be said for meditation and revelation, guys. And I'm speaking in the biblical sense of just waiting upon the Lord and just asking him to show you these things. So my intention is not to freak anyone out over the coming weeks. But we're going to address some of these areas. We're going to address some, just the ones that we're aware of, because I'm walking through life and I'm like, yeah, I can't see it over there, you know, because I've got a leaning. So here's what we're going to do. So part of the answer is awareness of your leanings, awareness of your tendencies, and meditation and revelation. You can bring everybody up. But I want to say this. One of the areas, there's a lot of controversial areas. And we just want to address them, not based on you have heard it said of old. But when Jesus said, but I say to you.